honor. Father, you've been so good to us and kind to us over the years, Father. You've granted us blessing, Father, and salvation, deliverance, Father, and protection. Father, you've spoken to us supernaturally. You've given us your word, Father, as a foundation of all that we know and believe about you. Father, you live on the inside of us. You lead us and guide us into all truth, Father. You show us even things to come. Father, we thank you that you protect us and provide for us, Father. We thank you, Father, for all the good things that you've given to us. And Father, we thank you that you've even set an eternal destiny for all of us, Father. That your desire is that all mankind comes and lives with you in eternity and blessing. And Father, you've made a way for that to happen. You've removed all the obstacles, Father. And Lord, all that's left for mankind is simply to say yes. Father, we thank you. We praise you, Father. We give you all honor, Father, for these things. We thank you for them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Is the Lord good? You know, I was just thinking about the first great covenant that the Lord made with mankind was with Abraham. And the Lord came to Abraham and said, you know, Abraham, I said, I've got a deal for you. He said, I'll bless those that bless you. I'll curse those that curse you. I'll bless you coming in. I'll bless you going out. Everywhere the soles of your feet shall tread upon shall be yours. He said, I'll take care of you. I'll make you great among the nations of the earth. And Abraham said, well, what do I have to do to get that covenant? And the Lord said, just say yes. That's it. I don't have to pay anything. There's no contract that I got to sign. And there's no, you know, earnest money I got to put down or no promissory note I have to give to you. No, just say yes. That's all that you've got to do is say yes. I've done all the hard work. I'm planning on doing all the hard work. But I just need you to affirm and say yes. You know, there's no difference from salvation. The Lord's done all the hard work. Came and shed blood, died on the earth, paid for everything, made a plan for the future, for everybody's future on the earth. From now until you breathe your last breath on the earth, and from that point to eternity, he's made a plan. He's taken care of it. He's done all the hard work. He's provided the victory and the overcoming power and the supernatural ability. And just like Abraham, he said, I'll make a covenant with you. And our response is, well, Lord, what's the cost? What do I have to do to get that? All you have to do is say yes. Nothing's changed. The covenants of God is the greater one. You know, covenant is a business agreement between a greater one and a lesser one. And God is the greater one. Amen. A business contract typically is a contract between two equals. But a covenant is between a greater one and a lesser one. And the greater one, if there really are a greater one, they do all the hard work. Amen. But you still have your part of it. Amen. You still have to say yes. It's not a hard deal, right? People say, well, what's it going to cost me? There's no cost. It's free, right? He's already paid the cost. The cost is a blood that's worthy to pay for all sins. Amen. Well, you're not capable of paying for that. I'm not capable of paying for it. That's the cost. Amen. He said, I tell you what, I'll take care of that. Right? You know, sometimes you buy a house and you know, if you can negotiate well, you get the seller to pay all the closing costs, right? They'll pay for the points, they'll pay for the inspection, they'll pay for the, you know, whatever, the assessments, you know, all those things. They'll pay for everything because sometimes they're motivated to sell. And so they'll take some of the expense, not all the expense because you still got to buy the house, right? But they'll take some of the expense on their side. And you think you've got a great deal. Well, Jesus took all the expense on his side. Yeah. He said, I'll just give you everything, but you still have to sign the contract. You still have to say yes at the end of the day. So if I sign this piece of paper, I'll get everything? Yeah. And I don't have to pay for anything? No. And you know, there's still people go, yeah, I don't think so. No, I don't want to do that. No. Well, why not? It's free. Nah, I think there's a catch. There's no catch. Amen. Yeah, but you have to say yes. That's the catch. Not a catch because it's plainly spelled out. You got to say yes. Well, how can I get all that and not say yes? That's not the deal. He didn't make that deal. He made the deal. I'll pay for everything. Everything. for eternity. I'll pay for everything, take care of everything. And you just got to say yes. And you know, there's still intelligent people on the earth that will look at that deal and go, nah, I don't think so. Like, what? What's wrong with you, right? I want to give you everything. I remember my pastor one time, he was driving through town, and he passed by this church. And they had a sign outside the church, and the sign was all broken down and in disrepair. And he called the pastor, he said, you know, I was driving by, I saw your sign. He said, I'm a pastor. He said, I'll buy you a sign. I'll pay for it. You whatever you want, I'll get you a brand new sign. The pastor's like, no, I don't think so. Like, what? What? Why wouldn't you take that deal? You know, that, aren't people weird, right, sometimes, you know? Because for me, if you told me that's that deal, right, and you're going to give me something, no charge, free, right? Oh, yeah, I'll take all day long, I'll take that. Because people think, well, there's strings attached. Well, no, if you tell me there's no strings attached and you come back tomorrow and try to add a string, like, no, it's already mine, too late. You're not going to add strings, right? And so now if you tell me the strings attached, well, then that's not the deal, right? The deal is you're not giving it to me free. It's like free with you know, other responsibilities. But that's not really free, amen? Free is it's free, amen? But you still have to sign the contract. That pastor, no, I don't, you know. It's like, well, that's isn't that the weirdest thing? Just, well, what's the catch? There's no catch. He didn't want, like, you know, sometimes you go in churches and they'll have like a pew says, you know, paid for by, you know, Sister Doodad or something, you know, because I'll pay for the pew, but I want my name on the end of it. And, you know, some churches are okay with that. I ain't putting your name on no chairs, right? You want to help us pay for new chairs? We don't need new chairs, but if you want to, that's great. I'm not putting your name on it, right? Because that, you know, that's strings attached, amen? You want to be a blessing to the church? Be a blessing, amen? And so if you want to give something to somebody, you ought to give it to them without strings attached, amen? Because sometimes people give money. Well, I'm going to give you money, but you can only spend it the way I tell you to spend it. Well, why are you giving them money, right? Just give them the thing then. If you don't want them to spend it on other things, give them the thing, right? Sometimes, you know, people come around here and we may not give them money, but we might give them food, right? Some people come in and we had one fellow come in at the church and he said, I'm hungry. And he came right at the beginning of the service. I said, well, you know, have a seat there. We're going to have a service here. At the end of the service, we'll get you some food. And he left about halfway through. He's like, well, I mean, you can't be that hungry, right? If you don't want to wait 30 minutes or 45 minutes, you know, I mean, it's rare. I'm an hour here, but, well, healing school, it's about an hour, but not even that because we sing now. But anyway, so he wasn't that hungry. Amen. Anyway, it's all good. Amen. So it's a pretty good deal the Lord has given to us. Amen. And if the church could tell people the right way that there's no strings attached. Amen. But you have to sign the contract. But that's up front, right? He's not hiding it. He's not like, oh, yeah, now that you're in it, you know, you've got to do all these things. He said, sign the contract. Amen. Praise God. Well, we have been teaching on spirit, soul, and body for a while here on Sunday mornings. And the thing I love about the teaching on spirit, soul, and body is because it tells us, informs us how God created us as human beings. Now, and if we can learn that, then we can understand, you know, why do I have certain problems in my life that it just seems difficult to overcome? You ever notice that some people seem like just breeze through life, you know, and other people, they just have certain areas that they struggle in, but other areas are very successful at. Well, if we can study the Word of God, the Word of God informs us and shows us these things. You know, sometimes people think that the Word of God is only for just spiritual things, right? Where we only, you know, it's just to tell us how to pray and how to not sin and, you know, how to be like self-righteous. But it's no really practical use day to day. And that it couldn't be farther from the truth. The Word of God would inform you how to have successful life every day, full of joy and peace every day. If you'll learn what it says and do what it instructs you, you can have a life full of peace, full of joy, full of contentment every day of your life. And the Word of God informs us how to do that. And it shows us where the struggles that every human being will go through and how to overcome that so you can do what Jesus said, to have days of heaven upon the earth. You know, He wants us all to be in heaven, but He also wanted us to experience heaven while we're on this earth. Amen? We experience heaven in the midst of all those strange things going on in the earth. Are there some strange things going on in the earth right now? I mean, we live like in crazy world, like clown world, like made up, like you couldn't write a story as insane as the story we're living in right now in our society. Amen. People like, you write a story like that and go, nobody would ever believe that. We're not even going to publish that story, right? And yet we're living in that right now. Amen. All the, we talked about all the upside down world where boys are girls and girls are boys and just weird stuff. I mean, just, isn't that weird? That's weird, right? Well, you're hurting people's feelings. You know, if I saw you about to stick your hand in a fire pit or something, don't do that. Well, you hurt my feelings because you know, won't let me do what I want to do. Of course, because what you want to do is dumb. Amen. And it will hurt you. Yeah. And so, you know, the Word of God will tell us these things and inform us. And so we talked about the spirit of man. God made every human being spirit on the earth. Yes. Every human being that's on the earth has a spirit that was created by God. Yes. Now, the physical aspect of every human being was created from a combination of the DNA of their parents. And God made it that way, that the parents passed down their DNA to their children, but their spirit was created by God. And every child that comes into the earth is alive under God, is aware of God. And a lot of times you'll see even young children, they will see things in the spirit realm that parents don't see. Because they're so alive and so attuned to God, they can just see in the spirit realm. They'll see angels a lot of times. They'll hear from heaven. Amen. Just hear things. And just know things supernaturally by the Spirit of God, because they're alive unto God. Now, at some point, they'll choose to walk away from God. Like every human being has done that, and they'll have to come back. Amen. But then we started talking about the soul of man. And the Bible makes a distinction between soul and spirit. And as we read the Word of God, we find out that the soul of man is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. And that, the soul of man, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions, is the greatest cause of difficulty in everybody's life, in every Christian's life. If you're a Christian, your spirit is born again, sealed by God, and there are no errors in your spirit. It will guide you correctly, without error, all the days of your life, if you will listen to it. But the soul of man, your mind and your will and your emotions, is like a yard sale, right? I mean, there's just all kinds of, what is that, right? You ever go to yard sales, like, what is that thing? They're selling it, but we don't even know what it is. And they may not know what it is. I don't know. It's been in the corner right there for years. I don't even know what it is. I'm just selling it, right? You want it? I'll give you a dollar. Or you give me a dollar for it, it's yours. Because people don't even know what it is. And a lot of times in people's soul, there's things in there, they don't know what's there. It just accumulated over the years, and nobody's ever cleaned it out. Amen. And there needs to be a lot of house cleaning in people's souls if they want to live a successful life in this earth. And the Word of God gives us more information about your soul and how to live a life that you can have peace and contentment, more so than any medical profession can tell you. Amen. We're thankful for the medical profession. We're not against the medical profession. They have kept people alive. But they're only practicing medicine because they don't really know how to do things. God will supernaturally heal your body, but He'll also help you to renew your mind to where it's clear and clean and at peace every day. And that's a great blessing that we can have if we want to live that way. Amen. When I got saved, I didn't know any of these things. And as I started to read the Word of God, I saw what I could become. I saw the Word of God promise me I can have a life of peace. I didn't have a life of peace when I got saved because I grew up, you know, kind of like a pack of wolves, right? I'm the youngest of 11, and it was just every man for himself, right? I mean, you know, we didn't eat each other or anything, but, you know, we'd just go out, you know, we'd be out playing, and we'd just fight, you know? And then we'd get done, and we'd go inside and eat. And people sometimes act like, well, that's not normal. Well, that was normal for me. That's the way we grew up. Amen? You just fight, right? You just... you know, I got in a fight in the first day of first grade. That's just, you know, I got one pencil from home, which I'm pretty sure my mom stole, but, you know, that was a different discussion. You know, she worked as a secretary, and we had all kinds of office supplies all the time at the house. I don't know where they came from, but, you know, she didn't pay for them, I know, but, you know, whatever company she worked for supplied us in lots of office supplies all the years growing up. And so I took my one pencil to school. And a third grader decided he wanted my pencil more than me. And, of course, he didn't know I'd been in combat training for years, right? I'm the youngest of 11. No, you're not taking, no. And so, you know, I mean, my dad told me, don't you ever get in a fight. You know, this is great fatherly wisdom. He said, don't you ever let me hear that you started a fight. And then he said, But if you ever get in a fight, don't you ever let me hear that you lost a fight. Thanks, Dad. That's really great advice, right? And so, you know, that's perfect parental advice, right? And so I took it to heart. And so that third grader walked away without my pencil. I got to keep my pencil, amen? And so, because, you know, that's really important to be a man when you're in first grade. And so, but you know, we grew up that way. Fighting, you know, arguing, screaming and hollering. You know, my parents, you know, they were Catholics, and so by law they're not allowed to get divorced. And so they just fight it out, not physically, but just holler and scream and cuss. And I mean, there was no wallpaper ever on our walls because it was all cussed off every day, right? I mean, you know, I heard the Lord's name in vain all my life. Now, and I would have been in fear and dread if I knew that was a commandment. I didn't know that was a commandment. Thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. We took it to heart, and that's just the way we lived. And so when I got saved, I realized, you know, I don't have to live that way. Just mad all the time, looking for a fight all the time, you know, just bitter and just angry and just, you know, people live that way all their life and think that's life. That's not life. That's not days of heaven. That's agony and depression and pain and discomfort. Well, who wants to live that way? People, well, you can't live that way. You can 100% live that way today, anytime you want to. Amen. Now, it does take work because when the Word of God informs you, hey, stop doing this, then you have to decide, you know, it would be to my advantage to stop doing that. Anytime I see anything in the Word of God that tells me to stop doing something or start doing something, I'm always convinced 100% of the time it's to my advantage to do that. People think, well, it's going to cost me. I'm going to lose out if I start doing that. No, it's always to your advantage. It's going to be a blessing to you. It's going to be better for you to do that if the Lord says to do that. It's going to be better for you to stop doing that if the Lord says stop doing that. You're never losing out on anything the Word of God tells you to do, instructs you to do. It's never to your disadvantage to do that. And you have to be convinced of that. Now, of course, some people aren't convinced of that because they don't really know the Lord yet. You know, they may be saved, but they don't really know the Lord. They don't know how He thinks and what He desires and how much He wants to be a blessing to you. They don't really know Him. Amen. They're acquainted with Him. They met Him on their knees in salvation, but they don't know much about Him after that. But the more that you get to know Him, the more you realize He only wants my absolute blessing in the earth. Nothing else. He's not trying to constrain me or hold me back or keep me under. He's trying to increase your life beyond your imagination. Amen. In this life, yes. On this earth, yes. Before you get to heaven. And when you get to heaven, it'll be unspeakable glory there. Amen. Amen. So that's a pretty good deal. Amen. You know, a lot of people think, well, I'm going to get saved, live like a heathen to my last breath on the earth, and then I'm going to, you know, repent and get to heaven. Well, that's great. But you know, when you get to heaven, you'd be like, man, that was a waste of time. Mm-hmm. You will realize how much wasted effort, how much life you wasted on the earth. Now, you probably don't believe me, right? If people are living that way, they don't believe me, but I'll put everything I've ever owned on that bet every day. When you get to heaven, you realize I could have lived much better and much happier on the earth if I'd followed God's plan. Amen. Now, it doesn't mean we make everybody a priest or a pastor, but it's just a better way to live. You know, all of Western civilization, for the most part, is founded upon Christian principles. Walking in love, being honest, doing what you say you're going to do. Most laws are there to keep you from harming somebody else. Well, why is that? Because the Word of God has informed society that it's better to not harm each other. Amen? You know, you get into Islam. Islam says, well, follow Islamic preaching or we'll just kill you. Well, that's not much motivation, right? I mean, you know, you can do it, but then there's no joy in doing that. Amen? Because you're not changed as a person by following Islam in their methods. Because, you know, for Christianity, we're trying to show you how good it is. Follow us. Islam says, I don't care if you know if it's good or bad. I'm going to kill you if you don't follow me. Well, that's a different motivation. Amen. And so following the Word of God is a much better way to do it. And any great society, if they are founded upon solid Christian principles, even if they're not a theocracy where it's governed by God, if they're just, you know, America was founded upon Christian principles. Everything in the Declaration of Independence, everything in the Constitution, is based upon Christian principles. Amen? And of course, they talk about God in those documents, but even if they didn't talk about God, it's still Christian principles. Amen? And if we could all walk in love, the God kind of love, not the world's kind of love, the whole world would be better. Amen? Now, and so let's turn to, there's a couple of scriptures I just want to repeat. We had mentioned them the last time we were here. Of course, last Sunday we had Brother Larry with us, and he enjoyed his ministry there. So we're going to pick back up in Psalm. Let's turn to Psalms 40 there. So there's 150 Psalms, right? I'd encourage you, if you get a chance, you ought to just read through the book of Psalms. It's just, it's really a good book. And of course, it's Old Testament there, so some things you have to take with a bit of a grain of salt. But this verse gives us some good information. And so he said, let's read in verse 14. It says, "Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backwards and put to shame that wish me evil." Now, David wrote this particular psalm. He didn't write all of the psalms, but he wrote this particular one. And notice what it says. Now, David was a general, right? Before he was a king, he was a general in Saul's army. And he was a great warrior. Amen. They would sing songs that David has killed his 10,000 and Saul has killed his thousands. And then Saul got jealous because David was a better warrior than Saul was. It's like, well, that's dumb. You're the king. Let him be the better warrior anyway. And say, yeah, me and David will fight you, knowing that David's going to kill 10,000 of you, and I may get around to 1,000, but, you know, let him do all the hard work. He's young, amen? That's why you have kids, amen? So they do stuff for you, and the way it's supposed to work. Saul got jealous because David was so successful at that, but David was successful because God had anointed him to be the great warrior of Israel. But notice what he says here. He said, let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after what? Not my physical life, not trying to kill me physically, but they're seeking after my soul to destroy it. Amen? And not trying to kill him physically, they're trying to destroy his soul, which is, of course, we know the soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. Before we get to the next, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2. And then what we find here, we start getting some information from the Word of God. This is in 1 Peter chapter 2. Now notice the intent is consistent from the Old Testament to the New Testament here. It says in verse 11, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." So David was saying that they were trying to destroy his soul. Peter tells us that the war that you're fighting is in your soul. And let's look at one more verse. Let's turn it to Romans chapter 7. In Romans chapter 7, we find a similar idea. Now, that was David that wrote that in the Old Testament. Peter just wrote the last verse that we read. Paul wrote this particular verse. This is in Romans chapter 7. It says in verse 23, "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." So now Paul is saying that there's a war against the law of my mind. Remember, we said that the soul is made up of the mind, the will, and the emotions. So the greatest war that you're going to experience in this life is primarily the war in your soul. It's not the war on the battlefield where you're a soldier, and we're thankful that our soldiers will go and do that for our benefit to provide us the freedom that we have. But as for your individual life, the greatest war is not fighting on a battlefield with guns and weapons. The greatest battle that you're going to experience is in your soul. Not even in your spirit, in your soul, in your mind and your will and your emotions. That's the greatest battle that you're going to experience on this earth. David said the enemy is trying to destroy your soul. And Peter said that these lusts and these temptations are warring against your soul. And Paul is saying that all these temptations that you're going through are warring against, specifically out of your soul, against your mind. Well, that's the life of humanity. It's not just the church. It's all of human beings experience this warfare in their soul, trying to twist their mind, twist their thinking, get them full of depression, full of anxiety, full of worry, full of bitterness and anger and warring against their soul. Because if the devil can get control of your soul and control of what you think and control of how you feel and control of your emotions and your thought life, he's the one to battle. There's nothing else for him to do. He doesn't have to kill you physically. You are of no value to your family, to your friends, to the world, to anybody around you, if he can defeat your soul. Get you to where your thinking is so insane, so crazy. And on the outside, you may look perfectly normal. Whatever normal is nowadays, right? I mean, normal is like pink hair and you know, all kinds of body piercings and weird stuff, right? I mean, it's just, surely that can't be normal, right? It's not normal, but the reason why those people are doing those things is not because they want to have that outward appearance. It's because they've lost the battle of their soul. Their minds are full of just the craziest things. You remember we read way back in Genesis chapter 6 how the Lord said that their thoughts are only evil continually. And mankind, left to their own devices without God intervening, all of their minds will drive down to thinking only evil thoughts continually. How can we see what God wants us to do and pervert it as much as we can? And so much of the world is the reason why they are the way they are, if they look at God's plan and they go, we want to think evil against that plan as much as we possibly can. And so that's why you see these things like transgenderism and homosexuality and different things rising up in societies. It's not because they have those tendencies, or surely not because they were born that way, but because the spirit of the enemy, the devil, hates God's law and is trying to twist mankind to always see God's law and do opposite world. And that's what they're always trying to do that. And that's why, why do these kind of things coming up? Because they hate God's law. Amen? And we're not trying to turn the country into a theocracy. It's just God's way is just a better way to live. It's more at peace. Amen? And so the enemy's goal is to destroy your soul. I'm not talking about, you know, not being born again. I'm talking about your mind, your will, and your emotions. Amen? Even that, now Peter said that. Paul said it. So they're both talking about the church. So it's not talking about getting saved or not getting saved. This is even after you get saved, the enemy is trying to destroy your soul, trying to get your thought life so messed up and so backwards world that you don't know which way is up and which way is down. And even in the church, we see that where they just start changing the law of God. Well, it's okay to live that way. It's okay to do that way. It's not okay to do those things, whatever those things are. Amen? It's okay to steal if you really need to, right? Well, no, God's law says don't steal. Well, you know, I mean, that's being fanatical. No, it's being normal, right? We said normal is God. God defines normal. Amen. It's not abnormal to not want to steal. Amen. It's not abnormal to want to praise the Lord. Amen. That's not abnormal. It's not weird. It's not fanatical. It's God defines normality. Amen. And so there is a war trying to destroy every human being, but especially in the church, trying to destroy your mind, get control of your mind, control of your thought life, get you thinking the way they want to think. And, you know, sometimes you come across that with people, and it's so hard to help them overcome, because if they have no desire to become a better person, you know, everybody's got things they're dealing with. I don't know anybody who has arrived yet. Anybody know? Do you know anybody looks just like Jesus yet? I don't know anybody looks just like Jesus yet, so we've all got a ways to go. Amen? But there are some folks who will review their life and go, I am perfectly happy the way that I am. That's a sad place to be. That's just the way that I am, and I have no intention of changing. That's a sad place to be. That is somebody that you cannot help. That is somebody who's lost the battle of their mind. Because a mind that's renewed to the Lord will always go, Lord, every time I see your word, I see more work for me to do. And so I'm going to get after it, Lord. I'm going to work on this thing. Because oftentimes what the Lord will do, through all of our lives, he'll always be showing us, hey, this area right here, this thought, maybe it's just one thought. I want you to stop thinking that thought. And he'll help you work on it. He'll give you the grace to do it. He'll give you the power to change that thought, to think the way he wants you to think. You know, for me, I have been so glad to have been married for 35 years. And I can't tell you how many times the Lord has told me, straighten up my life in relation to my wife. Stop thinking that about her. Whatever it is, right? Sometimes, you know, you get resentful because she works all the time, right? I mean, I can sit on the couch and do nothing, and she it's impossible for her to do that. I could sit down on a couch and there'll be a dirty sock on the floor and go, yeah, well, it's there, right? She can't do it. You know, she's got to fix it, right? And sometimes you get resentful because, you know, she wants to have things look nice in the house. And the Lord said, don't, you got to stop thinking that way about her. And she may never even know it. Amen. The best things are things that you resolve and nobody knows that you were thinking that way before. Now, of course, I'm airing all my dirty laundry for you, right? Including my sock there, so that you know, so that you don't have to get up and air your dirty laundry, right? Aren't you glad? You know, anybody want to show me all your dirty laundry today? No, I'll just show you mine, right? It's not that dirty. It's just a sock, right? But still. But see, I can get resentful for that. And a lot of times things like that will happen in a marriage. And that's one of the good things about being married is because you're just forced to constantly work on becoming a better person if you really want to have a successful marriage, right? Some people get married and plan, I will never change again the rest of my life. Well, that's a sad place to be. Amen? I mean, don't you know people like that? I tell my kids all the time, they'll slow down and say, how old are you? And they'll tell me, I said, well, that's too young to be in a rut. I just want this one thing and nothing else, right? And you know, and you see that, you know, you see the symptoms of that sometimes. If you go to, like, anybody have, like, they shave ice, a little place where you get shaved ice, right? And you get the pina colada, you get the lemonade, you can get the grape, whatever. And we used to have one of those. I'd go with my pastor. There was, like, you know, like 100 flavors, right? You get every flavor you can imagine. Some of you didn't know, you know, they just made up, right? That's not even a flavor. You just made that word up. And he'd get pina colada every time. I say, Pastor, there's 100 flavors. Why you're only picking one? Why haven't you tried? Well, I like that one. I know, but how do you know that you don't like another one better? Well, I'm never changing. I'm pina colada or death, right? I mean, it was till I'm dead. I'm dead. And he never did. He only ever had that one flavor. And that's the way sometimes people get. It seems to me men tend to be that way more than women do, right? I don't know why it is, but you know, I think the Word of God will inform us that. Men tend to be stuck in just the way that I am, right? You know, I bought new blue jeans the day I got married. That's the last pair I ever needed. I mean, fine, right? I mean, you're a real man there, right? All of humanity, especially in the church, should be striving to become more like Jesus every day. Because the more you're like Jesus, the more at peace you are, the more power you have, the more contentment you have, the more soundness of mind that you have, the more health that you have in your body. It's the best way to do. You should never say, that's just the way that I am. Because that's a sad place to be. Amen. Because the Lord will show you all your life thoughts and attitudes that you have that doesn't line up with my word. And if you can train yourself to respond in a positive way to the Lord when he shows you those things, yes, Lord, I'll be glad to work on that. Yes, Lord, I'll be glad to change that. And look, some of these things may take you a long time to change. You know, if you're drilled to be that way growing up, you know, it was drilled in me just to be, you know, just to fight all the time and be angry all the time. And it took me a while to get out of that after I got saved. It didn't all just change overnight. It took me a while to get over that. Amen. So there is a war, and the battleground is your mind, what you think about, how you think, amen, what you meditate on, what you think about, how you think about other people, how touchy you are in your mental realm, amen. You know people that are just so touchy? Hey, how's it going? Well, who's asking? It's just some people are that way, right? Why? Because in their mind, they're always suspicious of everybody. In their mind, they're thinking somebody's trying to get one over on them. Amen? You know, when I think about people, new people that I don't know, I just let them tell me who they are. Mm-hmm. Amen? Yeah. I mean, you know, if they're a good person, I let them show me that they're a good person. I don't make any, you know, I don't judge a book by its cover. I don't judge them at all. Just, you know, if you're a liar, well, then you're a liar. Well, you shouldn't tell them a liar. Well, they're a liar. I mean, they've been lying to you, so they're a liar. Amen? I don't have hopes that whether they're going to be this person or that person. I just let them tell me and show me in their life. And that's much easier, amen, than being suspicious all the time. In this life, you're going to succeed or fail because of the quality of your soul. Your spirit man, if you're born again, if you're a child of God, is already on its way to heaven, amen? and really nothing to do about that other than feed it a good diet of faith and prayer and the Word of God. Other than that, the majority of time you're going to spend on improving yourself is going to be in your soul. And if you want to have a happy life, secure life, a stable life, that's where you'll spend all your time. Amen. And so as a Christian. So we're gonna break the soul down into the mind, the will, and the emotions, and we're gonna talk about each of those and what we need to do to fix those areas of our life to get on the path, because you're never gonna get done. But you know, if you can get into a routine of oh yeah, I gotta fix that. Oh yeah, I gotta fix that. You know, it's just like at the house, it just never ends, right? There's just something you gotta fix that, right? You fix that. The list never ends, right? There's a honeydew list. It's not really a list because it never ends, right? And so it's just a honeydew thing. So it's always something to do. And so you've got to be okay with that and realize that, well, as long as I'm living in this life, there's going to be work to do. But some of it's easy to do. Some of it's a little bit more difficult to do, but it's all valuable. Amen. And so let's start here and let's go back to the Old Testament, back to the book of Proverbs. That's right after the book of Psalms. And let's start here in Proverbs chapter 23. And we're going to read a couple of verses, and we're going to read them in a couple of different translations. And so the soul of man is made up of your mind, the will, and the emotion. So we want to start with the mind. And the mind, of course, is what you think, right? What you know, what you understand, that's your mind. It's the part that reasons, you know, when you contemplate things, that's your mind. When you imagine things, that's your mind. When you're solving problems, that's your mind. Of course, when you're creating problems, that's usually in your mind too, right? But that's your mind, right? It's your intellect. It's what you use to understand the world. Amen? And look, God has made everybody with different levels and abilities in this earth. Some people's minds can just comprehend the most complex stuff, but some people's minds, none of that makes any sense to them, but they can tell you, you know, this color goes with that color. My son-in-law was telling me about he got his son an outfit to wear. You know, he's not even 2 years old, but he got him an outfit to wear, and he thought, yeah, these will go together. And then my daughter looked at him with pity, right? Just, you know, that it's just pity. It's not like she's mad at him, but just like, I just feel sorry for you, because you thought that was, you know. And of course, you know, I got two daughters, and I'd come out, you know, wearing whatever outfit, and even as children, my daughters would look at me with pity, like, Dad. I mean, just, and it's sad, right? Because I'm thinking, man, I look amazing, right? And they didn't agree. It's like, what's wrong with you? This look, you know, just no, you know. And of course, you know, that's just. I try to do the best job I can, right? But every now and then, and usually people say, does Chris pick out your clothes every Sunday? No, I usually pick them out. But every now and then she'll go and she'll audit my tie selection. And sometimes it'll be okay, but then sometimes it'll be like, no, just, you know. And so, yes, ma'am, right? Because she's better at that than I am. And so your mind, it's an important thing, amen? Because your mind is the beginning of every action that you take. There's no action that anybody's ever taken on the earth that they didn't start in their mind first. Amen? So if you get your mind, the Bible says renewed. We'll see what it talks about when it says that. If you can get it renewed and think like the Word wants you to think, like the Lord Jesus wants you to think, there's no limit to what you can be on this earth. Amen? And so the Lord is not trying to constrain your mind. He's trying to direct your mind to think like He thinks. Amen. And the way He thinks, you know, He created the whole world. And He had all of the creation, every blade of grass, every tree, every bird, every bug on the earth. He had all that and how they worked and all the atoms that made them up and all the organs and all the hair and every joint and every marrow. He had it all in His mind before He ever said, let there be light. And then once He had it all formulated just the way He wanted it, then He started speaking it into existence. Well, wouldn't it be nice to have a mind like that? That you could contemplate the entire universe in your mind in a moment of time and then start executing that plan. God didn't just like, well, let's just see what happens. Just let there be light. Oh, yeah, look at that. I didn't even know that would happen. No, He had it all in His mind. And then he created you a mind that was like him. Amen. And so here we are in Proverbs chapter 23. It says in verse 6, it says, Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. The key there is, beginning of verse 7, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. What your thought life is and how you think is really what defines your personality, defines the kind of person you are. You know, some people are just so easygoing and just so kind, and well, that comes because that's how they think. Amen. Some people just, you know, super analytical and always can see through all the haze and go, well, this is what we need to do. This is because of how they think. Amen. Some people just kind of mad and bitter and grumpy all the time. Just blah, 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 blah. Well, why is that? Because that's what's in their soul. Amen. It's not their spirit, man. It's in their soul. It's how they think. Amen. And the thing that's nice about it, you can change it anytime you want to. Anytime you want to. If you say, that's just the way that I am, that is a statement that you've said, but that is not a true statement. You can be, when I started reading the Word of God as a teenager, I realized I could be this. I'm not this, because I knew enough to know, well, I know how I am. And I read the Word of God, I realize how I could be. And I made the decision, even as a teenager, that I'm going to become that. I'm not going to stay this. I'm not going to stay this angry child, this bitter child. You know, I was an orphan at 15. I could have been bitter or mad. And people that don't know me think, well, you've never gone through anything in your life. Well, you've not had any difficulties in your life. Why? Because no difficulties are a problem to me. I mean, I have difficulties, but I overcome them by the Word of God and the power of God. And I just go through, you know, sometimes I go through them, sometimes I go over them, sometimes I go around them, sometimes I declare them to be gone in the name of Jesus, whatever it takes. But I get past them. They don't define who I am. My being an orphan at 15 does not define me at all. It happened. It's an event that occurred in my life, but it doesn't define who I am. I'm not, oh, I'm just so sad. I got no parents. Look at you. Oh, you got parents running around everywhere. I got none. You know, I'm all by myself. And I know what it's like to be by yourself. I mean, I know what it's like to have to learn most of life on your own. I didn't have parents to guide me. You barely are sentient when you become 15, right? Enough to know something. And that's when you start learning things, and they were gone. And they didn't really teach me much before that anyway. You know, I'm not trying to disparage them, but, you know, I'm the youngest of 11. They barely knew my name. Because they'd get mad at me, and they'd start calling my other brothers' names, and the more names they got wrong, the mad they would get. You know, Danny, David, and finally get to my name, you know, and by that time, they're so mad they can't see straight. That's just, you know, that's the way we grew up. And so I didn't want to be that way. But I didn't know there was an option. I just thought that's just the way you are. And when I read the Word of God, I realize I don't have to be anything except what the Word of God says for me to be. And to me, that's such a blessing. That's such joy. There's so much freedom in that. Because most people are chained by their minds. They're chained to the life they live. That's their path. Nothing can change. That's the way it's going to be. That is untrue. And the devil has sold that lie to billions of people throughout humanity. That's just the way you are. You can never be better than that. That is not true. You can have heaven any day you want to. Amen? And so the Word of God says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. One translation says, for as he estimates himself in his soul, so is he. I know a lot of people who estimate themselves as being, I'm an amazing person. It's like, can I get a second opinion on that? Because if I can get a vote on that, you know, that's not going to be the end result. Amen? But some people estimate I'm such an amazing person. Amen. You know, one time the Lord, sometimes he'll do this, right? Sometimes he'll just throw a kind of wrench in your life and just see what's going to happen, see how you're going to respond. And so I was just minding my own business one time. We were at church it was during praise and worship practice, and somebody was saying something, but the Lord was started speaking to me, and he just started out with this, right? He didn't lead up to it, right? Because sometimes, you know, he'll sneak up on you and say things. Sometimes he'll just throw the wrench, you know, and just see what happens. He said, you know, you don't impress me. Oh, what, you know, why? What did I do to you, Lord? I'm just sitting here minding my own business. You don't impress me. But, you know, later on, of course, it's always good to follow up with the Lord. Because if he says that, there's something there. And so you've got to, you know, now some people go, you know, he's just mad at me. I don't even know why, you know. Well, have you asked him? No. Why wouldn't you ask him? Just ask him, amen? So I asked him. Of course, you know, if you ask him, he'll tell you. And so, you know, really up to that point, I was pretty sure that I impressed everybody. I'm an amazing person, right? And so I don't, you all laughing, that you all have been the same way too, right? And like, well, yeah, I mean, you're a terrible person, right? You all have thought the same thing, that you're an amazing person sometimes. Now, some people, you know, they are beat down and discouraged in life. But there are a lot of times, you know, we think that we're amazing people. You know, we esteem ourselves highly, right? I esteem myself, estimate myself as being an amazing person. And the Lord said, you know, you don't impress me. And what he was trying to get out of me is because I grew up so backwards that I always tried to help people and do things for people so they would like me. And because I was smart, I could do that, you know. I could do grades. I could, you know, if somebody needed help with homework, I could help them with homework, right? I could draw pictures. I was a pretty good artist. And I mean, I could do a lot of things to help people. But my motivation wasn't to be a blessing to them. The motivation was so that they would like me. And so the Lord, you don't impress me. Because see, I was thinking if I do that, I would impress them and they would then like me. And so the Lord was trying to help me out to not be so weak-minded, right? And not have such a weak will that I needed other people to affirm who I am. Because a lot of times people are that way. They only exist to gain the favor of other people. They only feel good about themselves if other people will tell them how wonderful they are. And then I realized in the Word of God, I'm a child of God. He already loves me more than anybody can imagine. And so why do I need your approval to think that somebody would care about me? And so now I'm like, I don't care what you think. God loves me. Well, I don't like you. Well, I don't care. God loves me. Blood was shed for me. A king died for me. What could you possibly add to my life? I don't have an attitude about it other than if people try to make me feel bad, right? Well, you're not a very good person. The Lord seems to love me pretty well. That's right. Amen. That's right. I mean, no doubt I got things to work on, but see, people just can't make me feel bad, not for more than a second or two. People can't make me feel less about myself because I'm on my way to heaven. I'm on my way to sit by the throne of God. Amen. Amen. Well, if you don't like me, that is not my problem. But see, I didn't used to be that way. I used to be like, you know, please like me. Please like me. I don't feel good about myself. Please like me. In my own estimate, right? That I needed somebody else to approve of me before I could feel good about myself. He said, for as he estimates himself in his soul, so is he. See, my estimation of myself was not very valuable. Was not very helpful. Anybody ever been that way? Anybody ever thought that way? Anybody think that way today? What the Bible says, if that's how you estimate yourself, that's who you are. It doesn't say that's how you have to be. That's just saying, let's get the baseline. Let's acknowledge where you are. And if that's where you are, that's where you are. And then we can go from there, right? One translation says, for as one who calculates within his soul, so is he. For as he guards in his soul, thus is he. And then Joyce Meyer had her own translation. She said, as a man thinks, so does he become. And so your thought life, what you think, how you think, what you think about is so important in your life. That's your mind, right? Your intellect, your intellectual ability. Amen. And if you want to become a great person in this life, because I believe God wants every human being to be a great person in this earth. Your greatest struggle will be how you think, what you think about. And Brother Hagin even said that in his teachings over the years. He said the greatest need for the body of Christ is to have a renewed mind. Because they're already saved, right? I mean, you can get saved and be grumpy and think less of yourself and have low self-esteem and still make it to heaven. Amen? You can get saved and still have anger issues and still have bitterness issues and still have unforgiveness issues and still make it to heaven. But you're going to miss out days of heaven upon the earth. You're going to miss out the peace and joy that you can know that when somebody comes and says, I don't like your hair, not my problem, right? Because other times, you know, if you'd have said that when I was growing up, there'd be a fight. I mean, you know, fists are going to be swung. I remember one time my brother, so I've got six older brothers, and I've lost two of them so far, but I've got six older brothers. And, you know, being the youngest, I was picked on a lot. And so I had one particular brother. Now, I'm about 11 years old by this time, I was probably a little older than that. I was probably about 13, 14 years old. And he was picking on me. And I was 14. I just had it up to here. Because I saw my mom do that all the time, right? I had it up to here. I knew when she had it up to here, then we're in big trouble. If she only had it up to here, I'm good, right? But if she had it up to here, we're in big trouble. And so I had it up to here. And so, just like that, I made this calculation in my mind. I'm going to hit my brother. I'm going to punch him. It's going to cost me dearly. And I weighed out the cost. He goes, it's worth it. I'm doing it. And so I did. I hit him. I punched him. And after about 3 or 4 days when I could see again, then I recovered, right? Because he beat the snot out of me after that. But it was worth it. I made that calculation in my mind, right? That estimation in my mind that this is going to cost me. But in this moment, it was worth it. And I don't know if that was a wise decision or not. It was a decision, though. Amen? Anybody made decisions and you look back and go, that was not the right choice. Amen? It was probably not the best choice. And it wasn't about the violence. It was about, if I could have won, it would have been worth the trouble, right? But I knew I was going to lose. But it was still worth it to, I just had it up to here, right? And so what you find, if the Word of God, if you live by the Word of God, there's no here. You never had it up to here, right? That phrase doesn't exist in my vocabulary. I don't have it up to here. Because up to here means you, at some point, you were here. And then you got to here, and then you got to here, and finally you got to there. See, I never get to here. If I ever get here, I get rid of it, so I'm back to zero. Amen? And you can live that way. Where there's no, I had it up to here ever again. And it's a nice place to be. It's a wonderful place to be. Because then people, I was in a business meeting one time, and I was having to tell a customer that we're not going to pay them millions of dollars. And the customer, he just went off. You think you're such a big boy, you just think you know everything, all this stuff. And he just railing against me. There's a whole bunch of people in our meeting. And I just sat there. Why? Because, he can say words, but they don't affect me. And at the end of the day, I said, well, that's what we're going to do. And we got to the meeting. People said, I can't believe you sat there and took all that. How'd you do that? There's no here. It never got to here. Because as soon as you said anything, it's like, well, that's not true. And I didn't argue with them. I didn't have to defend myself. It didn't bother me a bit. Why? Because I've got to a place where there's no ever here anymore. Amen. And it's a wonderful place to be. If you want to ever get there, come visit my world. It's a wonderful world. Amen. And the Word of God helps me to get there. And so we're going to look and see how we can get our mind renewed and working the way the Word of God wants us to work. Because the plan in the Word of God is a great plan. It's the best plan. It's the only plan worth pursuing. Amen. Left to your own devices, I could just take care of my mind myself, you will fail miserably. You will be a grumpy person. You'll be, that's just the way that I am. Well, that's just the way that I want. And you can never change. If you don't look just like the Lord Jesus, there is changing to be done. Oh, yeah. Amen. Do you sound just like the Lord Jesus yet? Do you talk just like the Lord Jesus? Then there is work to do. Amen. Doesn't matter if you're young. You see, I started this when I was 15, right? And I got saved, started reading the Word of God. I go, wow, I got a lot of work to do. And I still feel like I'm way behind. Amen. I don't look just like Lord Jesus yet. Ask my wife. You should see him on Tuesdays, right? But there's work to do. But you can get there because the Word of God will show us how to do that, and he will provide the grace and the ability to get there. And so it's worth the effort. Amen. And when you can get there, even when you get some victories, you'll never ever get there, but you'll get some victories in your life, and you go, wow, I could have been this way years ago. You could have been this way even a month ago. Amen. And so we're going to look at some of those things, and we'll see what the Word of God says. And what we'll find is so many people in this world think that the only way to get mental improvement is to go to the world and go to therapists and go to doctors or take medication. And again, I'm thankful for those things because it keeps people stable enough. But that's not victory. That's just being stable. Amen. You're not getting any better. You're not getting any worse. The Word of God will show you how to get better and how to be completely successful and at peace every day. Wake up full of joy every day. Go to bed every day. Sleep well every night. Amen? I sleep well every night. I don't toss and turn and I can't sleep. I don't do that. I sleep good every night. I can sleep good anywhere. On a stump, I can sleep great. I have no problem. Amen? And I didn't start it that way. But I have achieved some success in some of these areas. Amen? So we're going to look at that. And we'll find out what the Word of God says. And if the Word of God says it, then I can do that. And that's the best way to do, right? If you can find the promise in the Word, then you should say, then I can do that. You may not be doing it today, but you can say, I can do that. Amen? And we're going to get there. And so praise God. Let's pray and thank the Lord for His Word today. So, Father, we do thank You for Your Word. Father, we thank You for the victory that we can have by following Your Word each and every day, Father. There's goodness and peace and mercy that's available in Your Word, Father, and we can live in that each and every day, full of joy and peace, Father, full of contentment. Become the people that You desire us to be, Father. And so, Lord, we thank You for that. We give You praise and honor for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, praise God. Well, let's get ready to receive this morning's tithes and offerings, and then we'll get set up and have some lunch. Amen. We'll get to eat. And everybody like to eat? Well, it's always good to eat. Amen. And so, big fan of it. Don't forget, we'll have healing school today at 3 o'clock. And that's just where we teach on the subject of divine healing and how to live in divine health all the days of your life. And then ladies' fellowship will be Friday at 6:30. So come ahead, Mr. Jared, and receive the offering. And I encourage you, anyone who got a copy of the messages from when Brother Randy was here, there were 6 messages there. Especially listen to the first message from Tuesday morning, because he spent a lot of time, he did a lot of research actually on our city, on Dayton, Tennessee, and how about 100 years ago when they had the Scopes trial, how that affected a change in the course and direction of the society of America, not just in Dayton, but across the whole country, and really even across the world in some ways. I believe there's a lot more to that that has to do with the commission for this church here in Dayton, Tennessee. Amen. And so listen to that particular message carefully, we'll be talking some more about that as we go along. Amen. All right. Praise God. Why don't we go ahead and pray and bless the food, and then we can go ahead and sit up and eat. Amen. So, Father, we thank You for today's fellowship meal. Father, we thank You. It's a blessing to gather together as Your people, Father, in fellowship. We thank You for this food, Father, the bounty of it. And according to Your word, Father, we declare blessed and sanctified in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, let's eat.